Blog Talk Radio.
This weekend down in Tupelo or wherever you was cooking at. A lot of contests getting off the way right now, getting into the barbecue season, a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening, a lot of teams making their way down Tupelo, over 100 teams this year down there at that big event. Be watching tonight at 9 o'clock. The Kingsford Cup will be debuting. I know there's several that's going to be on the show. I think they took 8 teams from around the United States shoot up there. Actually had the privilege. We actually got asked to go to that event. We actually didn't go. We stopped by smokeyourbuilder.com up there in Rolla and just kind of hung out and met them great guys up there, Frank Cox. We're going to have some people on that was at the Tupelo contest here this first hour around 7 o'clock. Around the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to break off because I'm going to be on another radio show at 8 o'clock, but stay on the air because what's going to happen is I'm going to feed the show that me and Hank Vaden is going to be on. I'm going to feed it to this show so you'll be able to listen to everything that's going on in the 8 o'clock hour. When we switch over to be on the other radio show, we're going to feed it straight to this one so you're going to be able to listen to everything that's going on. Hope everybody's having a great time out there, firing up the grills, getting everything ready to go for the summer is coming up. A lot of great events. Hopefully everybody get to do a KCBS event, NBN contest down there in Texas or something going on. Well, tonight, Randy and Andy, which Andy's going to try to call in around the 7:30 hour, the Southern Crump boys, they took third place down there in the Tupelo. I'm excited for them. Randy's at the being Elvis tonight. Yeah, I said it, Elvis tonight at the St. Patrick's, what is it? What do you call it? The world's shortest St. Patrick's Day parade or something like that. So he's down there acting a fool as he usually does. But he might show up here a little bit later. Tonight, I got a special guest with me tonight as my co-host. Let's find him a theme song and see what he's doing tonight. But he was down in Tupelo. Y'all going to know who he is. Let's play, let's see here. Let's play this. My co-host now. How we doing, Hank Vaden?
Oh, we're doing pretty good, man. How about you?
Ah, oh, not too bad. I got your name right this time. I didn't call you Vaden.
Yeah, I'm very
He's been training me up because he kind of grilled my ass last time I called him Vaden on the radio. So he's been grilling me. I got it right. Hank Vaden. Got to put the Vaden in there.
There you go, player.
So you traveled on down to Tupelo. Was there a big contest down there at Tupelo this year?
Yeah, man, that was a hell of a contest. You got the theme music right, though. After the drilling I took, my shit was all bad to the bone, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got beat up kind of hard down there at Tupelo. I looked at some of your pictures and stuff. I looked at the score sheet, and, you know, I didn't really agree with what I seen, but I wasn't there to eat it. But, you know, I'm a cook. I'm not a pencil pusher, so, you know. I'm just one of those guys that, you know, when I see it and it looks good and I know it tastes good, so, you know, that's just the way I roll.
Now, it was a good contest. It had a hell of a field of teams, a lot of quality teams down there, a lot of new teams I hadn't heard of that are coming out now, but 100 teams, they said, with plenty on the waiting list, but it was a good cook.
Yeah, it's always a big contest down there at Tupelo. I think they shot Pitmasters down there one year. I think, was it year before last they shot Pitmasters down there? I mean, it's just always a big, extraordinary contest. We really wanted to go this year, just couldn't get things in line, had to make it money.
Yeah, I understand that. Shot Pitmasters down there the year before, then 100 teams this year. Tupelo kind of giving me a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I'd do it to you real quick. They're known for partying, pretty sure. I know you like that part of it anyway.
Oh, yeah, we had a real good time. They, like I said, they run a good contest. You couldn't ask for a better contest.
Let's see. We got one caller online. We got one person that's calling in. I got somebody on here. I don't know who it is. So let's see who this is. Caller 936-355-4537. Who we got?
That's Swamp Doggy.
Hey, Swamp Donkey, what's going on?
Oh, not calling in to listen in. I'm out in the yard doing me some practice chicken, Southern Crunk style, hitting that half chicken.
Uh-oh, Southern Crunk style, huh, hitting a half chicken. Well, you know they took third down there in Tupelo this past weekend,
that's
huh?
Yeah, that's what I heard, man. Yeah, I tell Randy and Andy congratulations. And I heard old Tim Seals did pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have Tim Seals on here just a little bit shortly, and a couple of other ones calling in. So if you're listening to that, and you was at the Don't Be Cruel barbecue duel down in Tupelo, Mississippi, call into the show at 347-202-0263, and we'll bring you on and kind of see what your experience was about. What you doing at chicken?
Oh, man, I'm just doing my practice chicken. We got, you know, hit some hair chickens on that IBCA, and set my hair trying. Trying a little something different.
You said Randy Southern Crunk style. You putting a little Texas pepper jelly on them? What you got going on? You putting a little TSS food product on there? Some Phil Wingo product?
I've been known to put a little bit of that bird bath on them.
Oh, a little bird bath,
pepper
huh?
Jelly. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
What's going to be your first contest this year?
We got Walker County Fair Association here in Huntsville coming up 12th of April. So that's what I'm trying to get ready for. We're getting a late start this year. Had a bunch of work going on.
Oh, yeah, it's always a bunch of work. Ain't that right, Hank?
Absolutely, every day, brother, every day.
Well, I'll let you get back to listening. You just, if you want to chime in, just let us know.
Put me on the mute. I got a bunch of kids running around here on the porch.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, listening to the show. A lot of people do that. They call into the show just to be able to listen. I do it from time to time on other people's radio shows. I see Blake Moody's in the house, Chris Green, Tim Seals, a couple other ones. Got Tim Seals on the line right now. Blake Moody said something about Grand Champion. That was a good finish up. They're in Elvis Home contest. I don't know which contest you're talking about, Moody. Enlighten me, son. We'll figure out what he's got going on. Let's bring old Tim Seals on and see what he's got going on. Since we only have an hour, we're going to be on. Then we're going to be switching over to another rail show, but y'all will be able to listen live to the show that everything is happening on. I see where you're going with it, Blake Moody. That's right, a.k.a. Grand Champion Seals Smelly Butts is with us. How are we doing tonight, Tim?
Hey, doing good, doing good. That's why I didn't hold up to my name this weekend, so we'll have to drop that GC from Seals, and you just had to call me Tim, I guess, or Smelly Butts, whichever.
No. Which we got Hank Vaden on the line. He's with me tonight. He's my co-host. How we doing? Yo, Hank, hello.
Hey, Hank, and great job. I got the score sheets in front of me, and I'm looking at your scores. I can name them off right now, and those scores are at least the top three in most contests because this was a 100-team contest. You know, some guys had some better days, but great scores, and we'll say hi to Chris Green, too, with Cutie Pie's Barbecue. He needs to call in. Let's finish.
Yeah, call in, Chris.
They finished like 14th. Wow. So that's awesome. Chris, call in. Let's talk to you.
Yeah, Chris. Call into the show, Chris. What do you think about that, Hank?
Yeah. Everybody needs to call in.
What do you think about the scoring? You think it was a tough contest down there?
Did you not notice me trying to dog that question off?
Yeah, I did. I noticed that.
We got
to take the good with the bad all the time. So, you know, there's always more bad in my area than good. So.
Those are great scores, Hank. You know, they really are. I've won contests with those scores, so be proud, man.
We enjoyed it. It was a good contest. It was a heck of a field of cooks down there, though, you know.
Yes.
And congratulations to you, by the way.
I had some chances when it had some great cooks behind me. You know, when you come off winning a couple and go into a contest, of course you got the big head and you always go in to win, but things didn't turn out the way I had planned. I had a bad brisket, two bad briskets, couldn't do nothing about it, and whatever happened. It's behind me now.
That's the way you look at it. You go ahead and end that one and look on to the next one and get ready to go again.
That's right. I think it's better to go into a contest. The previous contest, maybe you got your ass handed to you, so to speak, I guess. That way you're on your toes. But when you go into a contest, you got a couple wins behind you. You're too relaxed. So.
Yeah, you know, you're right. We just the weekend before that had cooked the MBN Invitational and did really well in it. Felt pretty good about going into that one until yesterday afternoon. You know, it's just like, what in the hell have we done?
Yeah.
But we'll go on to the next one, and I'm sure we'll be all right.
Absolutely.
It's definitely early in the season, though, but I'm definitely glad the season's kicked off.
Absolutely. Been dying to cook myself.
Now, Tim, I saw what you put up on Facebook that, you know, earlier in the day you was talking about the brisket not being where it was going to be at. And
right.
Then I saw you when you posted the scores up, what you had. And the other three categories you did very, very well in. I mean, very, very well in. And then I seen the brisket, and it was, you know, way, 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 way back in the pack. What do you think? What was the downside of the brisket that you noticed that you already knew? Because, you know, a lot of people don't notice that. They already know, you know, when they turn in, they're like, hey, we're going to fix it, do well in that, or you know how they feel about it, but I mean, you already had a sense of what was already something wrong with the brisket. What give us kind of an enlightenment? What really set you off to really think that the brisket wasn't going to do well?
I had no idea I was going to have problems with the brisket, and I tried to allow myself plenty of preparation time. Brisket turn in was at 1:30, and I decided, well, at 1:20, we'll pull the briskets out of the Cambro and slice them. Which is only gives me basically 5 minutes to slice them and get them in the turning box. And normally that is way plenty, and my brisket stays warm. And I often say pay attention to detail. At this contest, we're in a pickup truck. We're in an Easy Up. I have one Cambro. Normally I use two. So I've got four butts, four sides of ribs, two briskets, and one Cambro, and do you realize, have any idea the amount of heat that's creating?
That's a lot of heat. A lot of heat.
Especially when I've split it up between two Cambros. So I pulled my briskets off at 205. I always pull them off at 205. However, and if you know briskets very well, most cooks, I'm sure do,
start crumbling. That's for sure.
Here I am at I've only got 5 minutes to prepare this and get in the box, and it starts falling apart, and it starts. I can tell already it's going to turn dark. So, two briskets, one of them just wasn't any way I could turn it in, and the second one, the best of the two briskets was the one that turned dark. So I did what I had to do. I had to turn it in. I doctored it. I tried to make it taste the best I could. The judges gave me probably a better score than I deserved.
That's amazing that you said that. You know, you feel like they gave you a better score than what you deserved.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think that way. They think, you know, I should have got a better score than what I should have got, you know. But, you know, you kind of reversed that right there.
Well, the brisket was that bad, but now we can talk pork, and maybe I didn't get as good a score as I deserved, but that's just the way it works, and especially on your larger contest. Yeah, you know, there's the luck factor plays in a lot bigger on the larger contest. So.
Now, do you think it's a downfall going into a larger contest with so many people and so many judges than being, we'll say, because most of the contests you go to have about 30 or 40 contests, because the contest you're usually at, we're usually at, and there's usually about 30 to roughly about 45 teams. It's usually right in the roughly of 40 teams. And do you think that plays a big part in the scoring process?
The deal with larger contests and 100 teams or plus is you need four tight categories. You need to be an experienced cook. You need to be consistent in all four categories. And then you can rise to the top. I mean, you can rise to the top and win it. But if you're a cook that, as I have been in the past, and like I say, with a bad brisket, it showed this time, if you got four good categories, you got a chance of winning it. But if you've got a brisket that turns black, or you've been cooking and your chicken's not turning out the way it's supposed to, it's almost impossible to win it. You got to have four good categories, and that's the scoring of it. It's not so much as the judges; it's just the number of teams in calculation. If you got four good categories, you got a chance to win it. But if you've been struggling with one category, it's not looking good for you.
Yeah, our category is usually chicken, and I can say that up front. Chicken is usually our worst scoring category for some reason. I don't know why. I cook a good chicken. It tastes good. It's always juicy and tender and everything they want it to be, but it never scores well, and I don't know why. Any tips on that? I don't know what it is. The chicken, chicken's like my nemesis. I don't know what the deal is with it, you know. I don't know. Chicken, I hate it. I don't know what it is. I like messing with it. I like cooking it, but I hate the scores I always get with it, and I don't know why.
It was the same way for me, and I'll tell everybody, I did everything wrong to chicken I can possibly do, and I no longer do those things. Chris, well, what's your take on chicken?
He's not on. Chris ain't on.
Okay.
I got Hank on. I tried to get Chris to come on, but he ain't on yet.
Okay. Hank?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you are. I think I have done everything wrong to it, and I try not to do that anymore. But chicken is one of those categories. It'll either eat your lunch or make your day. More times than one, it'll eat your lunch. It's still with me hit or miss sometimes. I know, you know, you try to do the same things, but chicken is just, and you wouldn't think it would be that difficult, but it is.
Yeah, you think the chicken category would be the easiest category, but it really ain't. I don't know what the deal is with it. And, you know, we'll scrape skin. I mean, I've done everything you can think of chicken, everything, everything. And it just, I don't know what to do with it. It's one of those where we know where everything else is going to sit or we'll do well in, and then chicken, I don't even care no more. I just turn it in. I mean, we cook it well, and, you know, it tastes good, but we already know. We don't know where it's going to be out on the board. We don't even wait for that top 10 call on chicken. If we ever get a top 10 call on chicken, we'll win the whole contest. I can tell you that one right now. But,
hey,
you know,
if I get a top 10 in chicken, you think I've granted the damn contest.
Yeah, I'll be so excited. Oh, man. It would be so excited as hell. It won't even matter.
I was tickled pink to get fourth in chicken at Tupelo. I got my gas money, which is I had money to come home to. I didn't have to stay down there. which is, it's a very nice town. But don't overthink chicken. But it took me 3 years to break down and just tear that skin off the chicken and go from there. But taking that skin off that chicken will do wonders for you.
Oh yeah. That's not, hey, you listen to that. We're going to have to erase that part right there. I'll tell you one about the redneck grillers. They told me one day, I was listening to them and they was talking to me and they was messing around. He's like, I was like, how's everything going? He's like, I don't know. He said, but they took we was at Cape or something, and they took the skin off the chicken right at turn-in, messed it up, blah, blah, couldn't do nothing, just turned it in. And they end up placing really well with it. And I tried that one contest, and I said, well, the chicken's gone. I said, the skin's gone on it. I said, we might as well throw this crap away. So we just pulled it off and turned it in. I actually scored better with that piece of chicken than any other piece of chicken we ever had.
Yeah, I didn't mean it that way, and I've done it before.
I know exactly what you're saying, Brian.
The chicken skin was rubbery and wouldn't stay on there.
Yep.
I ripped it off and doctored it up with some sauce and turned it in and did really good on it. But,
right.
I mean, when you're prepping your chicken, tear that skin off of it. You know, I'm not going to go into the whole process, but that chicken has, just when you're prepping your chicken, go ahead and rip the skin off of it.
Yep. Been there. I'm happy if we don't take last in chicken. I get excited if we don't take last place in chicken. That's how excited I am about it. If we're two spots in last place, I'm happy. Not really, but, you know, you beat all that. I think Chris might be on the show. Let's see if let me see if I can pull him real quick. Let's see here.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Caller 870-942. Who we got?
This is Chris with Cutie Pies Barbecue.
That's what I thought. What's going on, Cutie Pies?
Nothing much.
Yeah, Tim was talking about you a while ago. Wanted to bring you on the show. He said you was down there also.
Yeah, we went to Tupelo.
Was you excited to be down there? Were you excited how you finished out?
You know, we actually were, you know, surprised at how high we did finish. We ended up having a bad brisket. And our ribs didn't turn out as tender as we needed them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually were surprised we got as high as we did.
But you still got, you had four categories pretty close together, which at a large contest, you cannot get a call, and it's been known for people to win it with no calls.
Right. Yeah, we actually, you know, have struggled with chicken a lot, and that's been what we... It, you know, it's come to hate. In this contest, we actually tried something different, and, you know, it seemed to work a little bit better. But, you know, whether it'll work next week or not, who knows?
Let me ask you, did you cook legs by chance?
No legs. We cooked
thighs. You put any white meat with yours?
No, none at all.
Well, that's pretty much seems to be the way to be everybody's going, thighs. So I guess that's what you're going to have to do, cook thighs. I hate thighs. I'd rather cook a chicken leg. I'm a man that likes handles, and I'll eat a chicken leg any day of the week over anything else. That's just my point of view.
You know, on Friday you can catch a few judges, cruising around the contest to see who's all there. And I have a tendency to ask them different questions, but one of them this weekend was of the contest you judge in chicken, what percentage of the turn-in boxes had something besides thighs in them? Because there's people doing the poodle legs and the
pool
chicken legs and different stuff. And
have you seen the thighs plus the leg, but put down to like a lollipop? Have you seen that? Were they connected?
I heard something about maybe a. Chris Lilly with Big Bob Gibson's was there this weekend, and he finished 10th in chicken, and I heard something, but that's,
I don't know what it's called. I just know it's new, but it's like a thigh, They take the whole leg quarter, and they French down the leg, kind of like what they do with just the leg with the lollipop. And it's like the bottom portion plus the quarter part. So I don't know. I don't. That's just something new that something's going on. So Hank, you heard anything about that?
Actually, we had a team that was by us, and now what it's called, I have no idea what the technical terminology. He was calling it triangle thighs, and it was basically what you were saying. It was the leg quarter, and they had cut it down, and it resembled a triangle, but it was, you know, it was unique looking.
Yeah, it's definitely unique looking. I don't know. I don't know how that dude eats, but it's got a handle on it. I can tell you that much, and I can eat it. So.
Yeah, as long as chicken's got a handle, I'm all in.
What about you, cutie pies?
We stuck with thighs lately. We did some wings one time, and those wings came out. They were the whitest wings we'd ever turned in, and they nailed us on those. We didn't get anything good at all.
Yeah, I've heard people doing wings. I've heard people doing, chicken legs, but none of them really seemed to score that well. But I think I was talking to, Ponderosa Barbecue. Mole Kaysen, and he said he likes doing the leg quarters. He likes doing leg quarters and turn them in. I don't know how the hell you get six leg quarters in a box, but, you know, I guess if you can do it, I guess.
Well, it says six identifiable portions.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good point right there. Go ahead and explain that out there to the listeners.
Well, you know, it says six identifiable portions. I don't know if you'd say six leg quarters, but...
Well, that's why, you know, could you put like three legs and three thighs in that dude, or three, I don't know, three wings, three something else, you know, could you do that? I know you can put white meat in there. You can put some breast meat in there. So, I mean, I guess you could. What about if you just put one wing, one chicken wing, one thigh, one leg quarter, some breast in there, just one of each? What about if you just put one of each? I don't know. I don't even know about that. I don't even know if you can do that.
I'm with you. I know it seems like to me, and you know, we cook MBN, KCBS, we bounce around and cook a little all of it, but it seems like everybody does the thigh thing, and it all looks, from what I saw this weekend, six to nine thighs in a box on a bed of parsley, and hell, they all look about the same.
Right.
So but I'm definitely looking for new ideas, Tim, if you want to put something my way.
Yeah, Tim, I'm trying to get something out of Tim here.
Well, I cook chicken thighs. I prep them on Wednesday. I skin them down. I leave the bone in. I trim them to a nice, pretty square. They are definitely not muffin pan chicken, because I don't think the judges are looking for perfect shaped chicken. And since KCBS has changed the scoring system just slightly, your appearance score is not as important as it used to be, and your taste score is a little bit more important than it used to be. So, but I do chicken thighs. I do a little bit of the butter bath, but I'm not all into it. I do some different stuff. I cook on a stick burner, and I just can't imagine cooking on anything else, because it's just amazing. In 5 minutes' time, I can take a piece of meat that isn't dark enough, or it doesn't have enough smoke on it, and make it perfect.
Yeah, I'm William. I'll tell you something else that, you know, since you brought the scoring thing, there were some of the KCBS teams that I guess cook regularly on the circuit, and that was the big buzz down there with us. Well, there was a lot of them complaining, and some was even glad about it, which I don't really know exactly what the deal is with the changing of the, you know, the score factor, but some of them was really raking that over the coals. What's the deal on that?
Well, it was just a sudden change, I guess, and a lot of times you don't pay attention to the rules until the rules change. They may have talked it over for 2 or 3 months or 6 months, but once that rule changes and you actually see it on the score sheet, it surfaces to the top, and as one of the person on the board for KCBS said, he brought it up in the dead of wintertime when there's nothing else to do but complain about it, so... It really created some havoc. Right, Cody?
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. If y'all was listening to the show a couple of weeks ago.
You didn't by any chance stir the pot, did you?
No, I would never do that. Y'all know how I am. I just put it out there, you know. I don't know. It's, you know, it's kind of like the rule with the whole, you know, there was probably some people down there trying after the whole new pork butt rule, you know. They're probably trying that rule out too. You know, I don't think they're going to get DQ'd over it by any means. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. I think if, you know, I think if you're a true cook, man, I don't think you're going to have any problems. You need to cut the money muscle off. Not, you know, just a lot of other things. I think, you know, I just think a lot of things that went, has lost the old school feeling, and, you know, it's not really much about barbecue anymore. It's more about everything else, and, you know, I wish they kind of bring back the original sport of barbecue is what, you know, I really wish would happen.
I got a question for Chris Green, if he's still on the line. Chris, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, he's here.
You said you had a problem with brisket, too, and I happened to mention to my next-door neighbor, Warren County Pork Choppers, not Donnie, but one of his helpers along with him, and their brisket, of course, he finished fourth in brisket. I got the score sheets right here, but his brisket was starting to turn dark, too. So what was going on with your brisket, Chris?
We took ours off at the exact time we normally, you know, time and temp, and we had one that was, it was a little over, you know, more done than we would want it to be. It tasted, you know, decent. Then the other one, you know, cooked the exact same way, same time, same season and everything, and it had absolutely no taste to it at all. And
okay.
It was the best one of the two, you know. It had the, you know, still juicy, still tender. And so, you know, we had to go with the other one, and, you know, it just wasn't as good of a brisket. Dried out really quickly. So, you know, I guess that's, you know, just kind of what happens. You know, we probably left it on the pit just a little bit longer than we should have.
And you're still 37th in brisket, so which is great out of 100 teams, and that's why we cooked two briskets, right?
Yeah, I should have cooked three.
I hear you. Me too.
Well, hold on 1 second for me, guys. Hold on 1 second for me.
You can hear me before you see me. I got King Kong in the trunk. King Kong, King, 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 King Kong. King, King Kong, King, 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 King Kong. You can hear me before you see me. You can hear me before you see me. You can hear me before you see me. I got King Kong in the trunk.
All right, since we're talking about brisket, I guess I'll bring on the man that took 25th place down there in Tupelo, Mississippi this weekend. From the Chris Chadwick Show, Let's Talk Smoke. We got Chris Chadwick on the airways. How we doing, Chris Chadwick?
Gentlemen, what's going on this evening? I am recovering from a big weekend, lots of fun, lots of walking, and some running. I'm telling you. I'm doing good. I am doing good. We had a big time this weekend.
Well, we're talking about brisket right now, and I know you had 25th place brisket down there in Tupelo. Tell us a little bit about your brisket and how everything went.
Well, I'm going to be completely honest. Our brisket was turned out really – I was really proud of the brisket. I didn't know where it was going to place, but as far as a cook standpoint of view, we cooked two. And matter of fact, I just brought the other one in the house out of the cooler today that's not even been touched. We pulled out that first brisket, and it looked good. It did get done a lot quicker than I had anticipated. So I actually pulled it out, soaked it, and let it rest, and brought it back up brought my slices back up to where I wanted them before I turned them in some hot marinade, you know, off the pit. But, man, those turn-ins were crazy this weekend. We were at the back of the lot. The turn-in lines were at the front. It seemed like it was 5 minutes before turn-in time, and then it was turn-in time, and then we had 5 minutes, and I'm going to tell you, my big butt was running. The fat was shaking, and I was trying to get in that line before turn-in time. And the brisket just turned out really well. I did rush my box. I believe if I took a little more time with my box, we might even done a little better. I did get a couple of judges' scores out of that brisket as triple nines. So I was proud of that.
Yeah, the two he got. I'm looking at the score sheet. Two perfect scores out of six judges. Two of them gave him perfect 999. Two perfect scores in the brisket.
And I was proud of that.
That total score is a 169.7140, I think, and that wins most contests.
Well, you know, I'm gonna fess up. You know, last year we did compete in the Don't Be Cruel barbecue duel there in Tupelo, and that was the biggest show I'd ever attended. And the buddy I was with did the brisket last year, and in a lot of these small circuit cooks that we do around here, as far as the TBA goes, a lot of the city. The small non-sanctioned cooks, the small town cooks, we don't have a brisket category. So that was actually my first brisket that I had ever cooked for KCBS and turned in. And
awesome.
That's what we're going to have for supper tonight is brisket. I'm telling you. And when we get out, when the show's over. It's time to eat brisket, boys.
Well, let me get one more person in the line here. We got one more caller on the line. Let me get him in, and then we'll have we got Tim Seals on the line. We got Chris Chadwick on the line. We got Hank Vaden on the line with me. It's my co-host tonight. We got Swamp Donkey on the line. Oh, Swamp Donkey's in. He's on hold. And then we got Chris Green from Cutie Pies. Let's get this caller in right here. Sprite, the Southern Crump boys are in the house. They done went down to Tupelo and kicked some ass and walked away with third place. Andy Allen is in the house. How are we doing tonight, Andy Allen?
What's up, boys? I tell you what, I hate to burst y'all's bubble, but Randy and I only cooked one brisket.
We
rolled in six brisket. Man, I tell you what, Juanita threw out an awesome brisket this time, and you know it was Randy hooked her up, and you know we just. The cards were dealt to us fine, you know, this weekend, you know it, and the way I kind of look at it, it's really a crapshoot with that many teams, and you know if you get a couple of top tens, you know, hell, I was fixing to turn around and walk away, you know, after a couple of guys got called for the top ten and were ahead of me, you know, had more calls than I did, and I was standing there and Malcolm. Said, Andy, don't go anywhere. And I said, oh, man, you're crazy. I said, chicken and pork killed me. And son of a gun, you know, we ended up third place. And tell you what, that was a great weekend. We had the hospitality there was awesome. We had no problems. We, you know, the folks behind us were local folks. And, you know, they helped us out and, you know, visited with us, you know, quite a bit. So, but we enjoyed it. Had a good time. It was a great venue. And, yeah, in fact, Chris was talking about his leftover brisket. My leftover chicken, my 21st place chicken, went in some gumbo tonight, and that's what I had for supper. So, you know,
awesome.
you can't eat barbecue after a barbecue competition. You got to transform into something else. You know.
Amen.
Hank puts in his Brunswick stew in there, Hank.
Yeah,
that's right. We're actually gonna have Brunswick stew tonight.
Hey, I made some out the other night, man. That shit's pretty good.
Yeah.
I cheated, though. I ain't gonna lie, I cheated. I just took frozen vegetables and stuff like that. I didn't do it the old school way. I just did it something easy just for me, something to eat. I had some leftover barbecue, so hey, I threw some barbecue meat up in there.
There you go. Well, man, I tell you what, we Southern Crunk, you know, Randy was pretty pumped up. He had to leave early. And he left me there, you know, for the awards. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, you know, he said, I got to get back. And I said, okay. So, you know, he didn't hear from me. You know, the awards weren't till almost 5:30, which is kind of strange to me. I mean, I know there was a bunch of teams, but the awards were kind of late, you know. And everybody, I think everybody was pretty tired by the time the awards came. Well, all the cooks anyway, for sure. So, we're heading down to Hammond next weekend, and I think we're going to see a few folks that are listening in, and we're looking forward to that too.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this quick question, real quick.
Yeah.
I know there were some special meats ordered in last week for the Tupelo contest. Is there going to be some more special meat ordered in for Hammond?
We got a little extra for Tupelo, and it's thawing out in my refrigerator at home right now. So, we got a 4-pack of ribs and a 4-pack of butts, and we're gonna give it a whirl, you know. And I think that if we could have been top 20 in pork, we would have maybe won the dang thing. You know, I mean, it's hard to say that team from Kansas had those 3 top 10 calls, which was pretty salty in that crowd, I guarantee you.
Were you pretty excited when they started calling the top 10 overall? Did you expect?
I really didn't. Tim, when they called Q and Stewart and Bruin, and I knew he had 2 top 10 calls, and then somebody else had 2 top 10 calls. I said, our chicken and our pork killed us, and like I said, I was fixing to step away and go get my score sheet, and Malcolm said, you need to walk up towards the stage, Bubba, and I said, no, you're crazy. So, and to be honest with you, for me, I've been doing this for about 7 years, and with that many teams to finish that high, that's something for Randy and I to, chalk up to cooking together and switching our stuff up a little bit, so. But
that's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. So happy to see you walking up there. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, man. Just the opportunity to get up there. In fact, I told my wife, we were sitting there, and when they ran through the chicken and they were about halfway through the ribs, I told my wife, I said, crap. I said, we should have left the grand. We could have been at the campground and set up and having a beverage, And then they called us out in second place ribs, and I just about fell out. They were good. Pitmaster Robert Sierra turned us on to some stuff from down there, and I don't think there's any secret about what he uses. We tried it out, and the ribs were, when I was trimming them and I was pulling them, we bought some ribs at a big store, a wholesale store,
right,
for a backup, and because, I told Randy, I said, if these turn out to be crappy, what are we going to do? And so we bought the backup ribs, and I cooked them all, and we ended up turning in those ribs that we bought that were those $5 ones. And, I told Randy, I said, after I trimmed them, I said, I don't know if you need to spend the money next time, to do this. And then, we ended up turning them in and second place, and Bob's your uncle, that's the way it ends up. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you eat any of the other ones? Did you take any bites out of the other ones to try them to see what they tasted like?
Absolutely, we did. And we determined that, the wholesale ribs were pretty good. But I did the same flavor profile on both of them. The profile was the same, the sauce was the same, the glaze was the same, but those high dollar ribs were it was a better cut of meat. I could feel the difference in them, and that's the one thing, that I was concerned about, am I buying something that, that they bought it at Sam's Club or Costco,
right,
and slapped their label on it, But you could literally feel the difference. Even when I was trimming them, I could feel the difference in the meat, and it was amazing, the difference in it. So, we were real pleased, I'm sure there was a lot of folks up there cooking Wagyus and all them Chinese briskets, but, we bought our brisket at Sam's, and it turned out just fine, so.
Yeah, that's what Randy was telling me. He said, we just bought a Sam's brisket. We didn't buy an expensive brisket.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing. We've cooked a couple Wagyu briskets, and We've cooked a couple of just black Angus briskets that we get from a local retailer.
Yep.
And, man, I really like the black Angus, the prime brisket.
Yep.
I like it, and it does well, and it's not costing you $100. Now, the Wagyu brisket is an exceptional piece of meat. It definitely is. And if you ain't never cooked one, it will screw you up if you first cook one. It will definitely throw you off.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, Cody, and everybody listening, I don't really prefer the taste of the Wagyu. I think it's kind of irony tasting to me, personally. And, you know, Randy and I first started hooking up, you know, cooking and stuff, he was cooking those Wagyus, and I was like, man, there's just something about it, you know. It's just not, it doesn't taste like brisket to me. It tastes like a piece of steel, you know, and we kind of got away from them for a while. And
that's because Randy was cooking them. That's why it tastes like steel.
So, probably so. But, you know, he's not listening, so, you know, he's not able to defend himself.
He's not on. That's all Randy's fault.
Yeah.
Yep.
But,
what about you, Hank?
Sure was...
What about you, Hank? What about on brisket, Hank? What do you prefer?
Preference on brisket. I'm kind of like Andy. The Wagyu's got a weird taste to me, and I may be weird too. So who knows? But we use just a packer. We use the prime certified Angus briskets.
Okay. What about you, Chris? What did you have?
Went to Sam's Club.
Went
to Sam's Club in Jackson, Tennessee.
You know, at my Sam's Club, Chris, they don't have primes very often. And, you know, I mean, ours was just a plain old choice. There wasn't anything prime about it, you know. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, we got to dance with the one that brung us a lot of times, you know. I mean, and you know, I just don't feel like it's worth it in the long run to spend all that money on those dang Wagyus, but, you know.
Yeah.
I was in the top 10, but you know, hell, the top 5 may have had, you know, cooked Wagyu, and that might have been what killed me. You know, I don't know that. So,
What about you, Q5s? What did you cook down there?
We've always went and picked up just a choice from Sam's. I've never, you know, we cooked a Wagyu style one time, and that was just around the house, but I never could get past it. You know, it has a different smell, like Andy said, different taste.
Yeah.
So, you know, we didn't really like it, you know, and so we've always done good with just the one, you know, we pick up here locally, and that's kind of where we've always stayed.
What about you, Tim?
And then Randy talked about this at the contest there in Tupelo. I always look for the nastiest, ugliest looking brisket at Walmart or Sam's Club I can find. I do not want the pretty brisket.
No.
Why is that?
I did a contest, and usually, you know, you buy your brisket the day or two before or whatever, or I did. And I got to where I'd buy my brisket a week ahead of time just to spread the money out so it didn't cost so much at one time. And if you left that baby aged in your refrigerator about a week, my scores went up on brisket 50%. It just had a little stronger, beefier flavor. We're not talking letting the brisket get warmer or go bad or anything like that. We're just saying let it age in the refrigerator for a certain amount of time. And since I started doing that, I actually talked to someone who ages theirs 6 weeks in the refrigerator or such.
Really?
So, and I don't believe in this I bought the $150 Stew Branch and our Wagyu briskets and had them shipped to me in ice and all that crap. And that's not what barbecue is all about. Even if that's winning, even if that's better, barbecue is about taking a bad piece of meat and making it taste good and be tender and you just want to eat it.
Amen. Yep. I believe that. I sure believe that, too.
About time somebody said that. Man, it's so hard to get people on that same page right there. It's like a damn beauty contest these days. You know, it used to be about, you know, just putting on a dress and the girl that was, you know, just naturally beautified, she won. And now it's about taping boobs and the high-dollar dresses and how much makeup she can put on. It just don't make any damn sense to me. You know, at the end of the day, she looks just like everybody else when she gets out. If you took Miss America out of a dress and out of her makeup, you wouldn't even know who the hell she was.
Oh, good. A unique analogy, I think.
Yeah, I got to put it in terms that y'all understand why I'm making me a libation here.
I'm making me a libation
for Randy and Andy.
Attaboy. Hey, boys, I tell you what, I'm going to have to wrap it up over here on my end. I'm down here in a hole over here in a state park over here next to Tupelo, Mississippi. So y'all be good, and we'll catch you next week.
Awesome. Appreciate you calling in, Andy.
All right,
boys,
look for us in the funny papers in Hammond. So we'll see what happens.
Well, hold on, boys, for a minute. I got another caller on the line. Let's get him in. Blake Moody is in the house with us. How we doing, Blake?
What's going on, Cody?
Not a whole lot. You want to get in on some of this Tupelo action? Everybody's talking around. We got Chris Green on. We got Chris Chadwick on. We got Hank Baton on, which he's my co-host. We got Tim Seals on, and Andy Allen just got off. What do you want to bring to the table?
Cody, why are you hating on the tape boobies, man?
On tape boobies? I ain't got nothing against tape boobies, but what I'm saying is, if you know what I'm saying.
I like them. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, everybody likes boobies. Where's Randy at? You know, he needs to talk about boobies. He's my boobie guy. I like boobies.
He's
just as well as the man likes boobies.
Hey,
Cody, yeah,
he's playing Elvis.
Playing Elvis.
I
think I just won $25, but I'm not sure.
You think you won $25 on what?
Well, me and Randy are betting on how many times you say boobies tonight.
Oh, yeah. boobies.
Oh, quit it now.
I wish I had a let me see if I got a titty song on YouTube, and I'll play that for you so you can win.
There you go.
I don't know if I got one.
So, Tim, you know, Tim did really well. You know, Tim, I was back there, and I was hollering. I was cheering for you, cheering for Andy.
Yeah, you were.
I was cheering for you. I was proud to see you walk up there, man. That was. I just kept knowing I was going to be 11 and never won. 11th.
My pants start. I'm buttoning my pants. It's too tight so I can sit down and enjoy the awards. And when they called my name, I forgot to button my pants back up.
I was afraid to sit down. I wasn't going to be able to get back up, but sat down.
That's probably too much information. But anyway,
we had a good time, though, didn't we? I know, real quick, Cutie Pie, Chris Green, I didn't get to meet you this weekend. I was an admirer of your pit, and you just looked like you had it set up and going on down there. I was right up from you, and every time I'd walk by, you wasn't there, and when I was busy, I'd seen you, and I hate to miss getting to meet you.
Man, just come on by any time. We were way down by the hospitality tent at the fifth wheel, and you know, I got three kids that are towed along with me, plus my wife, so I got to, you know, keep the satellite TV going, keep them entertained, or, you know, they're liable to harass everybody up and down the road.
Well, I'll be sure to come by next time. I just hate to miss you. It was just so wide open. I never got to sit down. I got to see Tim and Andy and Randy and just got to meet several guys, but every time I walk by there, I just didn't see anybody, and I'm just not the kind of go beating on the door, you know. So next time, I'll hook up with you, brother.
Sounds good.
Hey, Chris?
Yes?
You did a Friday show from out there, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a pretty good show, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we tried to. We did that Friday Night Lights live, and it was wide open, it was loud, we were using our phones, and we tried to keep the feedback down, but, you know, we just got out and
started humping it, and we, you know, we got to interview several people and talk to several people, and but sure appreciate it. You know, it's just, it just turned out really, really good. Cody, if you don't get to, you need to go listen to it in archives. You hadn't heard of it.
Yeah,
yet.
I didn't
good.
Get a chance to listen to it yet, and I plan on going to listen to it. I've been really, really busy here lately, and man, I've been slammed here lately, actually, and I just hadn't had time for anything, really.
One of those contests that thousands of visitors. I mean, thousands of visitors. And if, as a barbecue team, you want recognition and you want people to see you. You got to cook a big contest. And the hosts that put it on, they were perfect. They thought about everything. I guarantee you everything beforehand. It was just totally awesome to do.
That is a sweet contest. They do an excellent job. You definitely got to give a big shout out to Deb Frawson and Leslie Mark. Them girls were out there on them golf carts, jetting across that whole comp field, taking care of everybody, making sure. And if you didn't have it and you told them you needed it, it was there. It appeared. I mean, they were first class. You know, it was just first class all the way for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, y'all hold on a minute. I got to play a song for Randy. Since he ain't on the air tonight, I'm going to play a song in his honor. Since they took third place down at Tupelo, I'm going to play him a song real quick. So hold on.
All right.
Song crazy. Song crazy.
Crazy.
Song crazy. Too much hate and killing going on. When I see the bare chest of a woman, my worries and my problems are all gone. No one thinks of fighting when they see a topless girl. Maybe if you would show yours too.
All right, Randy, since you're out playing Elvis at the St. Patrick's Day play, I got to have some booby music, so I played some booby music for you. We got another caller online. Let's see who this is real quick. Who do we got?
This is the former Miss Tennessee. I'm calling about the boob comment.
The boob comment? Now, who is this?
Scott Casey.
Scott Casey. How we doing, Scott? You had a nice finish down there in Tupelo also, didn't you, brother?
Not bad. Always
bad.
Would like more.
Yeah, everybody likes to have more boobies.
And a better finish.
And a better finish, absolutely. Absolutely. I got to hearing all the comments about brisket. I thought I'd call in.
Well, tell us about your brisket.
Well, I cooked two, and they were Wagyus, and I was very unhappy with them. But
Uh-oh.
Actually scored pretty good with them, but I was very unhappy with them, I will say that. I don't know, something about the texture of them just wasn't what I was expecting.
Is that the first time cooking Wagyu?
No, but I got all my meat from a different supplier this time, which was a terrible mistake because normally ribs are my best suit, and they absolutely killed me this time. But I guess you live and learn. Don't go to a contest with 100 people in it and buy meat from a different source.
Now, what did you end up down there placing?
29th overall.
Great job.
That's a good finish. It's a good finish.
Wished I'd gotten in at least the top 25, but I'll take 29th. That's top 30, isn't it?
Yeah, it's top 30.
And of 100 teams, and I'm not looking at your scores right now, but I kind of averaged everything out. Anybody that finished in the top 35, those scores good enough to win most competitions with 25, 35 teams.
Well, my question to everybody is, I heard your comments about the Wagyu briskets. It's what wine y'all feel so strongly about what y'all commented on a few minutes ago.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go down the line. Hank, what do you think? Tell the man what you think.
You know, it's kind of like Andy was saying. I don't personally have anything against the quality. And it's quality meat and the texture and the marbling's great. It's just got a... It's got a different taste to me that I just don't care for. I'm not going to spend that kind of money. Hell, if I don't like the taste of it, I'm damn sure not going to spend that kind of money to cook it.
What about you, Tim?
Hell, I can't afford it.
But let me say
because there was a time, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I could afford it, and I ordered the Stroop Ranch, a lot of bull, got it on the side of his bus. He's winning, he's bragging about it, and I ordered me a couple from Stroop Ranch and shipped, and we cooked one at a contest. It was at Mountain Grove, Missouri, and we also cooked our regular at that time, this is 2007, at that time, $14 briskets, and I am not, you know, I didn't even think about turning in $14 briskets. We went to the Stroop Ranch, and we cut them, sliced them, and at the time apart in horrible bowls. We put it in the box, and it's pretty good. We turned it in. And after we turned it in, he said, Tim, come here. And we tasted of the $14 briskets, and it tasted twice as good as the Stroop Ranch brisket. Then again, what I said a while ago, barbecue is about taking a tough, nasty piece of meat and making it tender. And think about it. You can flavor it any way you want to. If you wanted to make it taste like a Hershey's Kiss, inject it with chocolate.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, a whiskey.
There you go.
Or some white lightning.
Okay. Some white lightning. What about you, Chris? You ever cooked a Wagyu before?
Never have. I don't, no. I've cooked Sam's, and I've cooked a Walmart brisket, and that's about the extent of my brisket cooking.
Now, I've cooked a Walmart brisket before, and I don't care for Walmart brisket. I can honestly say that right now. I've cooked a Walmart brisket, and I don't care for it. Now, the Sam's or the Black Angus is what I prefer over any of them, but, you know. What about you, Moody?
Well, Sam's Club or my local butcher. That's the.
We don't have any butchers that carry brisket around here, so you're in luck.
Yeah. We don't even have a butcher that has a brisket around here. Yeah. Lucky enough, I've got at least a second generation owned family owned butcher, and being a newer team, I'm just trying to break into this thing, so. I'm not mail ordering $100+ briskets. I'm just gonna have somebody, you know, knows about briskets, just educate me a little bit. And I got a Sam's card, and if not, my butcher helped me out.
There is a learning curve.
Hey, we just do Sam's Club.
Now, Tim, what was you saying?
There is a learning curve to picking out brisket. I will admit that. That's why, you know, separate. My deal is I did so bad this weekend on brisket, and I knew it, and I had cooked two good briskets, but there's a learning curve on picking out briskets, and I'm not going to the Wagyu style. You just have to learn what to pick out. The reason I did the bad brisket this weekend was my fault. It was not the brisket's fault, okay?
Now, do you cook a packer brisket, or do you cook what do you cook?
No, I cook a flat and point. That's it. No packers.
Just packers?
No packers. I cook flat.
You cook flat. You don't cook a point?
Flat and a point.
Okay. Let me ask you this: Do you separate your bread? You cook it whole or separated?
I cook it whole.
See, I separated this brisket I cooked this weekend.
You separated it, okay? Good.
I did.
I sure did. I cooked it the same, you know, I cooked it side by side on the pit, on my stick burner. And I cooked it separate and then finished it off wrapped in the both of them wrapped together in a pan and it cooked, you know, it cooked about the same time as the whole brisket. I sure enjoyed it. I had to go downstairs and give me some brisket when we started talking about it. I'm back.
we got about 4 or 5 minutes left, and I'm going to have to roll over to the other radio show, but we're going to still live feed this show so everybody can listen. Let me ask one question, Tim, real quick. Now, if your brisket would have been in the top 20, top 30, would you have been in the top 5?
I don't think I'd have been in the top 5, but I went into it wanting to finish in the top 10, thinking I had the ability to finish it in the top 10. But my ass has been kicked so many times that I wasn't surprised that I wasn't. I was very happy with the 22nd. Like I say, the brisket was my fault, not blaming it on the brisket. And although some people will push you to go to that $150 brisket, I'm telling you, don't.
This boy can't do it anyhow. That wouldn't be me either.
You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and, you know, that's what he was talking about. And I was like, man, it costs $1,000 to run a contest.
Yeah.
To go to a contest, it costs you $1,000. And I was like, man, that's a lot of money. I said, well, you got to think about your meat you're buying. You got to think about your fuel, about everything else you're getting. And then, you know, your travels, getting down there, and then you got your entry fee. It costs you right at $1,000 to go cook that contest.
I know I didn't spend that, thank goodness. Let's talk about chicken real quick before you get off there.
All right, what do you got about chicken?
I'm proud about my chicken thighs this weekend. I was number 18 on chicken thighs.
Oh, tell us.
You placed the 8th in chicken?
18th in chicken.
18th, okay.
Yeah, 18th. No, I was proud of that because, you know, it just, I just took my time on old chicken thighs and I prepped. I took 24 to get my 6.
Ooh.
And, well, you know, I prepped them all. And I rubbed them down, let them sit all night in the cooler, and then I got ready, and, you know, I looked at it was 15 minutes. Let's see. What time was chicken turn in, 12 o'clock?
12 o'clock.
It was 12 o'clock.
Yep.
All right, it was 11. It was 10. It was 10:40. It was 10:45 when we put our chicken on. And
Now, did you cook that in a butter bag? How did you cook that chicken?
No, I didn't. I cooked it right on the grate in my stick burner.
Bye.
And I never turned them. I put them in there and closed the door, and I forgot about them until right before turn-in time. I pulled them out, and I sauced them down. I let the sauce melt on them, and I put them in a box and turned them in.
Now, what kind of sauce did you use?
I used a special sauce.
A good sauce.
A blue good sauce. Special sauce.
Shouldn't you keep playing that chicken with Randy music now? Yeah.
Hold on, man.
Everybody hold on 1 second for me. Uh-oh. Hold on 1 second. Randy's in the house. How are we doing that, Randy Hill? Oh, shit. I got him on hold. I didn't even turn him off hold.
Oh, come on,
Shiggy with Randy. What are you doing, Shiggy?
Am I on,
Randy? You on, boo?
I mean, I just got back from marching as Tickle Me Elmo for the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
How many girls do you get to tickle?
I think they're going to have a policy against that next year because, you know, they got certain rules about certain things, you know. No, man, it's good to be on your show. I'm glad you did tonight, man. I think you traded up, though, in your co-host. I didn't get to hear any of it because I just got home, but I think it's mighty good.
Yeah, we got Hank Vaden on as a co-host. We got Tim Seals on. We got Chris Chadwick on. We got Chris Green on, Blake Moody, Scott Casey, and we got Randy Hill.
Oh, hell yeah. You shouldn't even put me on, but you should let me know you guys talk.
Got to get some chicken with Randy in.
Congratulations, Randy. Awesome job, man. Next time, borrow something from another cook team before you leave, and there you go.
Tim gave me some great advice. He said, you know, first of all, if you leave early, that's good. And you got to borrow some shit. And so I was like, we actually had to borrow some mustard. So I guess it kind of counted for the guys next door to us. And they're a lot of fun. They like to weed it up all night long. I'll put it like that. But it was a good time, man. I really enjoyed it.
You cooking hot dogs? What do you do with the mustard?
You know, Andy likes to put on his balls to keep the mosquitoes away.
I'm gonna play a little chicken with Cody. Now tell us a little bit. Right. What did you change up down there at Tupelo to get this third place? Well, I wanna know.
Well, you know, you hear these guys on the show all the time. They just keep doing the same thing, and they do things that are smart. And the one thing that I'm learning through the years is cooking is you just got to pay attention to what you're doing. You know, and if something doesn't look right, realize it ain't right and just change it up. For instance, you know, I had the worst category we had was pork, and it would have been a whole lot worse except I was watching that pork cook, and it wasn't cooking up right, you know, and everybody has it happen. And so we changed a few things up. I will say I've always been true to our sponsors of the show, and, you know, I use that that rub that we heard about from our buddies up in Chicago, Phil Wingo.
Yeah, Phil Wingo.
And that's really, he is not a sponsor of mine, and I'm just going to tell you guys how it is. But that's a good product to lay down when you put down your base and build off that sauce because you're building flavors.
Now, which one did you use?
Sweetened No Mercy. We used No Mercy, and I also used our buddies up there from the Pork Pool and Plowboys. I used their brisket, you know, rub. And I'm going to tell you, I'm probably the only bastard that turned in a damn, you know, brisket from Sam's, except for maybe Hank. I don't know. I think he cut one off a cow out there on the way over.
No, everybody says they got their brisket from Sam's. So
I guarantee you, Johnny Trigg had a Silver Creek Farms or Snake River Farms Wagyu brisket.
He got perfect 180, didn't he? I will kiss
your ass on the radio if he didn't, and I do not want to kiss your ass.
You already lost one damn bet, son.
What's that?
Boobies.
$5 to me.
Well, you $5 for, baby.
$5 for Pit Masters.
That's right. Well, I already knew that damn deal was rigged. That was totally rigged, man.
Go ahead.
Now, I was going to tell you that the one thing about that was a very – I want to give my props out to the sponsors of that contest. They did a good job. You know, they got everybody in. They got everybody out. You know, you got 100 teams in there. They're a little bit tight on their space, but they took care of everything you needed. And, you know, they don't get the credit they deserve a lot of times for the work they do. And having done one myself, man, my hat is off to them. They did a wonderful job.
Hey, Brad, I agree with that completely.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Did you lose a bet to Tim Seals?
I don't know. Do I have to go stricken on the court, on the lawn or what, Tim? What happened?
I was just going back. I made that comment that we had a bet on who would say boobies the most time, which you never said boobies. You always said titties. And my work, you know, people are different. I like boobies and you like titties.
Well, I did say when I went back and listened to the Chadwick show, and I did ask for somebody to show us their titties, but that didn't work out so good. I'm glad Andy was willing. I'm just kidding, man. I'm not hearing anything out of Hank, man. Is Hank on the line?
He's there. Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, Hank, man? What are you thinking, boo?
We're kind of listening to everything, still trying to recover.
He's old.
I want Hank. Hank did a pretty good job at that Columbus, or was it Columbia cook with the NBN thing? Is that right, Hank?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Columbus, the NBN Invitational.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've cooked all this bullshit. You've done the KCBS, IBCA, and the NBN thing. And, I mean, you're really, obviously, you're very good at NBN. And tell us what it takes for a guy like me that don't know bull crap about cooking in the NBN event. If I wanted to enter one, what advice would you give me?
What advice would you give me on IBCA cook?
don't do
what you did last time.
Just don't cut your chicken, dude. Never answer. You sound like my wife. Never answer a question with a question, damn it. No, but I'm seriously. I think you got a lot of people listening tonight that that have cooked the KCBS is kind of the gold standard. We've all done that. But a lot of us guys have not cooked the NBN. And NBN, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the participation is declining a little bit in it, and it really shouldn't, because that's something that people ought to explore, they really ought to do. And I think a lot of people are intimidated by it because they don't know how to do that on-site judging and all that kind of stuff. And you and I had a little, conversation about that, that and other things over the campfire. But tell us a little bit about, if you want to get an MBN, what advice do you have to cook to do?
I guess I'm completely opposite than most everybody else. I started out MBN and where most everybody else started out KCBS, and so MBN to me is not that big of a beast. You do, bottom line is you've got to have a good product thing you do. But the on-site presentation, from what I understand, I hear everybody talk about, they think is a lot of them think it's bullshit, but a lot of them are intimidated with the fact they have to sit down with
bullshit.
A judge and explain to them how they bring it. And, it's basically cooking a KCBS, but you've got to get the definition of what you've done to do what you did. So that's it.
I'm trying to get him to come to Murfreesboro to cook with us.
Yeah.
If Randy can make it, we're going to. We're going to cook a Murfreesboro NBN. Go ahead, Tim.
Hank Vaden, man, I don't know you very well. I don't even think I met you in person, but at Hot Springs, I knew you were there, and I know you're a great cook. And I'm so scared of NBN, my legs are trembling right now, but if you ever want any help, I'll wash dishes for you, man.
Well, look, I'm going to tag along with you on this KCBS stuff, and if you're doing IBCA, I'll wash your truck. But
we'll work it out.
As long as nobody's getting a blowjob, it'll be okay.
That's right, baby. That happens every once in a while.
I'm sorry, dude.
Only Randy with that.
Yep. What do you think about the contest up in Murfreesboro, Randy? Randy, you think you better make out? Maybe we can cook a whole hog and team up and with Phil Wingo and whatnot, and cook some NBA contest up there.
How about I make a deal with you?
All right.
All y'all were talking about NBN. Why don't we just take what's on the radio right now with us, and we'll go cook at any NBN you want, and we'll all go do it at the
same. I'd love that.
You pick the contest, and we'll go do it as a team, and then we'll go.
You pick the contest. I'm in.
Let me see when Murfreesboro is. It's a big contest.
I think about it. Ain't got no tonight. Yeah. Go, Cody, you're in charge, but.
Murfreesboro's in September. That gives everybody kind of a big leadway, kind of a big. It's a huge contest, and they pay a lot of money. It's usually around somewhere close to $20,000 where they pay out right there at that contest.
It's a dual sanction contest. I want to tell you guys one thing right now, though. You let Tim Sills cook your pork butt, you let Andy cook your pork ribs, and you let Hank cook your pig, and Cody and I just be the eye candy, and we'll win that son of a bitch. We'll win it. I mean, I guarantee you, because, I know how good all you guys are, and that's what's fun, though. I mean, we get together, your friends, you cook, you hang out, have a good time. That's what it's all about.
Maybe we can get presentations since we talk all the damn time.
Eye candy, baby.
Well, if Randy goes, can we call our team Bad to the Bone Barbecue?
Sounds great to me. I'm writing it down right now, Bad to the Bone.
I'd like to resurrect a name I didn't get to use for Pitmasters. It was called Barbecue Jesus, because they don't know how to cook better than that. But Jesus.
I am not cooking under barbecue Jesus.
What the hell it is? Is maybe
are you moving?
And you can be barbecue Jesus.
How about bad attitude to the bone?
God
no. Well, we'll figure some of that out. But for our listeners out there, though, I mean, I just want to try to get some people. I want to expand their horizons, and I want to get some people cooking outside the box. And you know, the one thing I want to do this year is I want to cook an MBN. And we're gonna try like hell to get through Hank to cook at Memphis and Mayhem.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to shuffle some things, you know. Make some people, you know, rearrange their cancer and other whatnot. I'm trying to get my ass out there.
That'd be good with Hank. Hank, you pick the name. But,
hey.
Yeah, I'm in, Randy. Yeah, serious.
Well, I'm
the same way with you right now, Randy. I'm scheduling everything around Memphis in May. I'm scheduling everything around. I have not booked anything. Anybody that wants me to book anything, I'd like move it to the week before or week after. I ain't got time to deal with it.
So it sounds like we're going to...
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. Y'all go ahead. I'm sorry.
So it sounds like we're going to have fun in Memphis for sure.
It's damn right we're going to have fun in Memphis. I can tell you right now, we won't cook and won't do anything, but I guarantee you we'll be over your shoulder watching every damn thing you do, and we'll keep the pretty ladies away from you, I promise.
So, Hank, is my wife going to be suspicious if I ask her for $200 and $1 bills?
No, don't worry about all that. $2 for parking.
I just thought that's for the parking. Yes, here you go. You got to tip a lot of people. Well, I will tell you what though, the people of Tupelo are some really good people, and we had a good time. You know, if I figured dead ass last, I'd still say the same thing. I mean, I think they put on good comp, and you know, they took care of the cooks. You know, and we had a good time. Andy and I got. It's kind of funny because you know, Andy when he got that second place rib call. I'm driving back home, and I'm thinking it's going to be good luck if I get to Arkansas before I hear anything. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, I ain't heard nothing, so we must have done what the damn. And next thing Andy's calling me, he got a sixth-place rib call. I'm going, oh, shit, now I'm going to catch hell because, you know, Andy cooks the chicken and the ribs, and I cook the pork butt and the brisket. And we've been sucking a dog's ass on brisket. So for me getting that sixth-place brisket call, I mean, I got like a barbecue boner for a week. That's like it's serving Viagra straight into my nuts, you know. So it was pretty awesome. And Hank can attest to that. He was there. I mean, you know, there's TV cooks and then there's cooks. And Hank's one of those guys that's just a great cook. And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, Trig was there, and that's all fine and dandy. But, yeah, I mean, Hank can attest to this. There's other guys that when you walk to the comp, you're like, you know, I just want to be that motherfucker right there. And I did say motherfucker. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, how about a shout out for Johnny Trigg? Did y'all notice that? And Hank, Chris, you were there. Johnny's an easy up in his pickup truck. Of course, he's got his Jambo, but he's cooking by himself with no help. And if you have never did a KCBS contest by yourself. How about a shout out for Johnny, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
I tried to get him on the show tonight, but he never got back with me. So hopefully we might be able to get him on. I know next week we will have Rob Rub Bagby going to be on the show, Swamp Boys.
He will be on
the show next week, so we're going to have him on. So if you're listening to the show in the archives, listen next week to Rob Rub Bagby, and we'll add a couple to it.
Hey, Cody, thank you, man, for having me with you.
Do what, brother?
Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, brother, I appreciate you coming on. You did well down there in Tupelo. I want to bring you on. It's not every day you get to get off your own show and get to be on somebody else's show and talk about yourself.
I know, and I feel honored. I appreciate it. Look, anytime I can help, I'll be glad to. I sure enjoyed meeting Randy and Andy in person. And then I got to see Bill again.
Well, and, I appreciate that, too. Can you bail me out of jail one of these days?
Yeah, brother. I'll take care of you.
I appreciate that, man.
Y'all have a good night and take care. We'll look forward to cooking with you again one of these days. Hopefully soon.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, I tell you one thing about old Triggs. I mean, he is a pretty nice guy, you know, and it's a pain in the ass, you know, and everybody, they put his ass right in the front of everybody. So everybody walked past his place, turning their boxes and other whatnot, you know, and he'll visit. Well, he's a good guy. I mean, I feel kind of sorry for those guys because everybody's in the damn business, you know, and Triggs got a little help. I mean, you know, but, and he's a damn good cook. cook. I mean, you know, I give him his props. But, you know, I'm just telling you, though, it's tough when you get to that level. I like to be anonymous. In fact, I'm thinking about if I ever get really good, I'm going to change my name to something else.
I'm just going to get an outfit made that looks like me, and we're going to let Cody wear it or something. I don't know.
I can wear
it. If I ever get really good, I'm going to change my name to Lulu's Barbecue, because everybody knows that ain't worth a damn.
Hey, you know what's funny about that? Everybody knows the damn name, but they don't know nothing about us. We're like Bigfoot, man. We are like Bigfoot, the Yeti. Everybody knows it exists, but ain't nobody fucking seen a damn thing from them. You know what I'm talking about?
I worked hard for that joke, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I just give you a hard time, Cody. Man,
go ahead.
So I just ask, hey, man, where are you cooking next, Bo?
Do what now?
Where's Hank cooking next?
Probably in Columbus, actually. I've got some work I've actually got to try to do. We're going to cook Grilling on the River. It's in Columbus, Mississippi. It's a good cook.
So is anybody heading down to Hammond next weekend that's listening tonight?
I couldn't. You got to do it like a year ahead of time, and I'm not into that, so I'm not there, but good luck to you.
And, you know, Tim, for that, I'm very thankful that you're not there, because you'd probably kick my ass.
No, but I hope you do good. If something happens, comes up, we can make it. We'll come down and visit, but kick some ass. Kick some Southern Crunk ass.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate it, Bubba. And I tell you what, though, I'm going to tell you one thing, Cody. You got some loyal listeners, because there are a few people tonight who are thinking maybe you're not going to have the show. So they're like texting me and asking all kinds of stuff. And I think they really enjoy the show. And the one thing I want to bring to the show is, you know, just share the stuff that we do. Because if you can kick my ass with stuff I tell you to do, man, that's what makes you true, you know, barbecue sensei or pitmaster or whatever you want to call it. You know?
Hold on. I didn't come up with a new name. I am
not a
pitmaster. You have to get inside your inner pig man, which is one of them. You got to get inside your inner pig man. And I am a control operator and a meat master. I'm not a pit master. I pissed off a guy, which I told you that story last week when I pissed off a guy when I told him that, because he was ragging because I had a pellet cooker. But anyway, that's just my point of view. But, you know, everybody's got their own thing they like to cook on. And, you know, I don't kick nobody's ass because they cook on a fire burner or stick burner or wood burner or anything else. You know, that's just what they choose to cook on. And, this is what I choose to cook on. So, you know, if you cooked on it 300 days out of the year, that's probably what you would be more comfortable cooking on, too, because I just can't roll a fire-breathing machine around with me every day of the week and light it and turn it off.
I cooked two inner pigmen last week.
Two inner pigmen?
Two inner pigmen.
I'm kidding.
That sounds like a damn, you know, porno video, Inner Pig Man.
Inner Pig Man. Y'all just wait till I get Bad Attitude done in the Flavor Factory. I got Flavor Factory and the Bad Attitude coming along. So as soon as we get all that done, we'll be rolling.
Love the smoker. Love the smoker. Love Lulu's Barbecue.
Hey, I got to ask you one thing, though, Tim. How did you like the hooker lights under my pit?
Once I had that shot of, they ended it all, you know, kind of just glow together. It was beautiful. I seen butterflies.
That was real hitting off. You know, I think Andy Day breaks you, man. I'm sorry.
I was happy, happy, happy.
Well, anyway, guys, you know, I think the one thing about the show, man, we just gotta have fun. I mean, you gotta have those little pit fire conversations that we have out there. And anybody that's ever cooked, they can appreciate it, right, Cody?
Yeah, buddy.
You know, you sit out by the pit, you talk about things, you talk about barbecue, you know, other things. And you know, it's really weird. I was thinking the way back home, because I really thought we didn't do worth a shit, to be honest with you. And I was thinking, you know, this was a great weekend. You know, my son went down there with me, and Andy was down there, and there were some really great people, and we had a really good time. And, you know what? I don't keep the trophies. I just give them all away. It's all about the experience, man. It's all about being around good friends. And the conversations I have are worth more money than the money I want. I'll put it like that.
Great job. So proud to hear y'all called for third place. I was like, and it happened, I saw Andy walking up there for the first top five calling. Hell yeah. And then it came, then of course, the second top five call. And they're calling the top ten. And then it got down to the top ten overall. And I'm thinking, Soviet Truck's in there somewhere.
Hank would just knock the shit out of me. That's what he's trying to say. Yeah, I'm just glad that the checks were made out to my name, because otherwise Andy would be down in New Orleans right now doing some things he shouldn't do.
Thanks, Kevin, for reading, right?
Yeah, something like that. Hey, and one other thing, Hank, how was that party across the way from you that night, boo?
Hey, you know, I wanna reflect on something you said, and I think, and you're very tricky. I use that big word. You hear that? Reflect. But the two worst cooks I had done in, which I didn't know what the shit in Tupelo, and I definitely didn't do well if you're cooking hot. But those are two of the cooks I think I have had the most damn fun at in a long time doing this. And whether you win or lose, everybody wants to win. But I got into doing this stuff because it was fun. Well, it's turned into work, and it's how I make a living. But I had a ball at Hot Springs at your IBCA, and I had a ball in Tupelo, met a lot of great people. But it's like you said, I had a good time doing it. And this weekend I had a great time. And the party over beside me was a hell of a party.
that's what I'm saying. Hey, they had a good time. And Bubba, I really appreciate the kind words about Hot Springs, because we're going to build that cook. And I'm going to tell you right now, that cook's going to be about one thing, is that's just the cook. I don't give a damn what the public wants to do. You know, everybody's always worried about the public. I'm worried about the cooks, you know, and we're going to make that thing fun for everybody. And that Tupelo cook was good, too, you know. And I want to tell you, man, those people, man, they threw it out, didn't they, across the way from you?
They went all out with it.
Let me ask.
Was that you, Randy?
I was just going to hang around and see if I could see some titties, but I had to go to bed. And Hank was supposed to text me about that, so I guess there were no titties to be seen.
$25.
You know,
$25.
I happened to see a few cents, but it really wasn't worth texting about.
That's why I love you, Hank.
Oh, I can only imagine a party if all of us get together and cook an NBN cook. I can only imagine what kind of party is going to happen.
We might
even make the damn cook. Our hall might burn up. Everything else might burn. They'd be coming up there like, hey, you want a beer?
$25.
Well, I think you're hitting on something, though. I think if there was one thing you need to do with all these comps out there, you need to take all the best elements of all those comps and combine them. And one of the things I really like about the Memphis Barbecue Network is you do get to interact with the cooks, the judges do, because they need to know kind of what you're doing, you know. And I've dogged on the KCBS a lot, but I give them the props because they're very strict about the rules. It's like, you know, if I was, like, going to judge it like Jesus, I'd say the KCBS is like the Catholic Church. I think that NBN is probably a little bit more Baptist, except there's a lot of drinking going on. And I think IBCA is a little Lutheran. What do you think?
Hey, I got a theory for a show next week.
Sounds good.
Cody, you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. I was kissing my woman. Go ahead.
And I'll just throw this out there. We won't comment on it. We won't take it no further than what I say. But there was a judge that commented that they had two rib turn-ins at her table, and it's 76 degrees in Tupelo, Mississippi, and her ribs were refrigerator cold.
Wow. It's
been 1 month.
Well, let's just leave it right there. I'm thinking they forgot to microwave them.
I always forget to do something.
But, controversy. I'm just throwing it out there.
how in the hell you get cold ribs if it's 76 degrees outside?
Yeah,
well, you're
if,
right,
if you can set them outside, they're not going to be cold.
If you cooked them last week, you want to make sure your ribs are tender and they're right off the bone. Of course, you refrigerate them to preserve them before the contest. You microwave them, but your wife got distracted and she put the two bones in there, and oh.
Huh. That's a good concept there. I never really thought about that. They always say flavor. They always say you get more flavor from a rib bone that's been sitting in the ice box than actually when it comes off the grill.
Y'all did notice on the scores, though, there were two teams that must have got, you know, DQ'd for whatever reason. One of the teams got a 20 for that contest. So I'm guessing either they turned something in late or had something in their box that marked it or whatever. And I always hate that. I mean, nobody should ever get DQ'd at a contest, in my opinion. I mean, you should work with them, do whatever it takes. Just don't get their ass DQ'd. They paid way too much money to travel and go down there to get DQ'd. And I understand you have the rules. You have the strict turn-ins or whatever, but, God, I hate DQs. And I've never had one.
Have
you got? Who
has? Hank has. That's because he turned in Beanie Weenies.
2 seconds on a brisket turn-in, and I got DQ'd.
It sucked, didn't it, Hank?
Yes, I did. I was within 3 foot of the table and was told there was an imaginary line, and I didn't cross the line. In Columbus, Mississippi, as a matter of fact.
Ouch. Ouch.
I'd tell them to suck my imaginary balls. I'm sorry, Hank. I'm just trying to help.
Don't worry. I told them to suck the real thing.
There you go, Bubba.
I would show it to them.
So I'm just curious. So we got, you know, Hank Baden, and we got Tim Fields on tonight. And I'm just curious, what give us your next three comps. We're kind of curious where we really don't need to go to cook, so you won't kick our ass. So where are the next three places y'all cooking?
Go ahead, Hank.
No, you go ahead. I don't know where the hell I'm going to cook.
I'm following wherever Southern Crunk is at. I'm just going to follow him. I'm chicken now.
Just because you don't kick my ass. That's not very nice there, Tim. You know you kick my ass every place in cook, dude.
Well, you know, hey, great job. Great freaking job. Don't know what you did. Don't know what you changed. And I want to ask, I mean, because I know you had a couple, you didn't do so good down there in Bossier, and of course you didn't want to there in Hot Springs because you were hosting it, but holy crap, man, kick some ass. I'm proud of you. Proud to be your friend. Proud to know you.
Well, it's funny, though, because I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to be rude about it. But we had some guys that were shigging off of us down there, and I thought it was so damn funny.
Hold on. If you're going to say it, I want to know who it was.
No, I ain't going to call nobody out on it because I just thought it was funny because, you know, everybody's been a victim of shigging. But these guys are funny because they're like, what y'all drinking over there? And right about the time we're getting ready to pull something off the smoker or whatever, you know. And I just thought it was funny. I mean, these guys, you know, Andy and I pretty much opened a book about a lot of things. We don't ever want to be the guys that are behind the black curtain or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was just so damn obvious these guys are shigging. If you're going to do it right, you got to do it like we did. We were set up across from some, like about, you know, about 40 yards from somebody else saw the shit they did. And I did learn some things, by the way, and it was kind of cool. But, you know, as far as shigging's concerned, my rules of shigging are this. If somebody invites you to their cook and they tell you it's okay to do what we're doing, then you can use their stuff. They invite you to their cook and say, don't do this or please don't tell anybody this, you don't do it. And that's kind of the rules. I mean, what do you guys think?
I agree.
You know, I'm kind of the same way. You know, I have a lot of people that call me daily. A lot of people that Facebook me daily and ask me questions and ask me different things and, you know, wanting to know, you know, different things about what we do. And, you know, I give it to them. I'm like, let's just don't broadcast it, you know. And it's like, you know, our sauce. You know, our sauce isn't manufactured through, you know, a sauce company.
you know, we make it and we sell it, and that's what we like to do. I don't really want it manufactured right now until, you know, if I'm big time or something, but that ain't never going to happen. So, you know, it's just kind of an in-house thing for us, and, you know, if I sell it, I'm like, just don't send it off to the manufacturing company and, you know, get it doubled up for you and, you know, try to make money off of me. So, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying right there. You know, and I've had a lot of people in our frame of mind that come across the contest that has gave us tips and gave us valuable points on stuff to do and not to do and different things like that. And, you know, I take that and they say, don't say anything, and I don't. And that's just the way I feel. It's just kind of a man trust thing right there that, you know, if somebody's willing to show you something or teach you something, they ask you to do it a certain way and not say anything to nobody else and, you know, keep it to yourself, I think you should do that. And that's just out of respect.
Exactly. Exactly, Cody.
Cody.
What about you? What about you, Hank? What?
Hey, on those questions and stuff you get asked on Facebook and email and Twitter, not does any of them ever ask you if you're really an asshole?
Not like you, Hank. Not like you.
I get those a lot, and I was kind of wondering what that pertained to the cooking part of it.
Yeah, I never get called an asshole. They just say we really like what you're doing and we're following you and keep up what you're doing. Or they might ask tips or, you know, how to cook something or different things. I got a guy in Canada I got to contact. He contacted me the other day, was fixing going to like a vending business and selling barbecue and different things. And I got people that call about smokers, like Nolan's custom smokers and smokerbuilder.com. They call and ask us about them. And, you know, I just give them to them straight up, you know, what I think and everything and that value. And, you know, people just, I don't know what it is. I don't know why people like us. I really don't. But, you know, go ahead.
Randy can vouch for me. I'm really not an asshole all the time.
The thing about Hank's a good guy, and I really don't want to say that because I don't want to ruin his reputation, you know, I'm just telling you, Hank's a good guy, man. You hang with the guy. And the thing about people that don't understand about Hank is he's done this shit a lot longer than anybody out there has done it. He's been there. He's done that. And, you know, he is a man. I mean, he's Myron before he's Myron, you know. And, you know, Hank would do anything in the world for you, except maybe stick his finger up your ass.
Yeah, not like Randy. That's like us. You know, I do have people that say different things, but, you know, I got people that say, but some people think you are cocky and arrogant for, you know, how y'all are about everything. You're always putting up pictures or saying something or this and that, and they go, well, y'all are not cocky or arrogant. Y'all are just proud and confident of what you do. And, you know, I am very proud and confident of what we do because, you know, we come from nothing. I mean, we didn't have anything when we started this business. We started out, we bought a $1,000 grill, and that's all we had. We was cooking cheeseburgers to be able to make money. I mean, we didn't have nothing. And, you know, we are proud and confident from where we come from, and I think you got to have that in life to accomplish stuff and say, you know, from where I come from, people would rather see you fail than accomplish anything. That's just the way it is, and that's the way my hometown is. They don't want to see you succeed. They'd rather watch you fail and say, see, I told you, then to watch you succeed and stand behind you, and that's what motivates us. That's what pushes us, and that's what, you know, makes us want to go to the next level. And, you know, when we set out and what we have done, we have accomplished everything on our list that what we wanted to do to where we have to build new goals.
I don't mean to interrupt you or anything.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you or anything. But so, at this point, I want to say amen, and you need to start a new list.
Yeah. You know, our next goal is going to Memphis in May. It's just something that, I talked to Hank about that contest in Memphis in May. It's just a contest, but it means something to me because when we started out, I made a vow to myself, and like I told Hank, I won't go to the contest and cook until I feel like I'm comfortable enough to where I can win the contest, and, you know, and he understood everything I was talking about. Go ahead.
We can win the damn contest. Win the contest, yep. Ain't no problem, but I want to be a part of it. I'm in with you.
That sounds good.
Look, we can win the fucking contest. We can win the contest.
Woo!
Did somebody say
the contest, it's just the money it takes up trying to get into the damn thing.
That ain't no lie right there. It costs a lot of money. lot of money to get that thing. As you can notice, that's why we're all going to rally around Hank, because we can't afford to go ourselves. But really, I don't really want to go cook. I'd rather just go down there and enjoy myself and be down there. It's a place where it means something to me, and I haven't been there in I haven't been there in a very, very long time, and it's just the contest means something to me in my heart, and you know, just being down there, it'll be emotional for me enough just to be on Hank's team, just to sit around and goof around and enjoy it with my friends, and that means something to me right there.
We've all got a
date at Memphis in May, then,
right?
Yep.
Yes.
Hey, I promise some titties, though.
Oh, yeah,
you'll
be full of that,
too. Hey, I want to ask you guys one thing. I'm listening to all you guys talk about this stuff tonight. What would be the biggest comp that you could ever win? What would be the feather in your cap?
Hell, every one of them's a big comp.
Hell yeah. Just to win one of them's big enough for me. I don't care.
If you have anything like targeted, if I win this comp, then I'm on, this is a thing or whatever. Do y'all have anything like that?
Mine would be. All of them, it don't matter what you did before, but it's that day, and then once it's that day it's over with, I'm ready to go to another one.
Well, you answer that question right, because you're only as good as your last comp, And when you move on, on the next one, and you just move on the next one, But I think all of us got a few things out there. I mean, I'd love to win the Jack. I'd love to win the Roll and all that kind of stuff. But, the comps that I enjoy the best are the ones that surprise you. When you go in there and think, there's no way I'm going to win this comp and win it. Man, I think that's the best comp to win.
Good point. I agree wholeheartedly.
And as long as I kick Cody's ass at any comp, man, that's gold.
That's a double ball.
That usually ain't no problem.
Cody for 500. There you go.
Yeah.
I got to throw in on Randy's. What was the most the best contest you could win? What would be the proudest moment? What contest would you feel the proudest of winning? And I had to think about that. I thought about, well, it'd be the Jack, and then I thought, well, no, it'd be the Royal, because at the Open, at the Royal, there's 500 teams, 400 to 500 teams. You want to be one. You can go to the Jack and be one out of 87 teams. You can go to the Royal, you can be one. If you win, you could be one out of 500. So the Royal would be the better to win.
Yeah, the Jack's more like a prestigious thing. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
But then I got to drinking.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think about as far as winning competitions. The coolest thing to me to win a competition, and I'm just going to sound a little hokey. I don't mean to sound that way. But when I get to cook with my boys, if I could just win one comp and my boys are there, I don't give a damn where it's at. I mean, it could be in Glenwood, Arkansas. And I'd be happy with that. I mean, that's what's important to me. And the other thing, I don't give a damn. I want to win. I'm a competitor. If you don't say you want to win, you're a liar or an asshole. But I just like going out there and meeting people. I really enjoy cooking. And if I get my name called, that's great. And I'm kind of weird about it. Sometimes I'd rather see my friends' names called, But I think the people you meet out there on the trail, that's what makes it important.
Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all drunk out there tonight?
Woo!
Is there anybody on the radio show that is sober tonight? Let me ask that question.
No, sir. Spring water, I promise you.
I've got a cat on my lap that is like disputing that comment.
What about you, Hank?
Hell no, I'm drinking. Shit, you know me.
We talk barbecue. Hold on a second. I know you. Let's talk. Hold on. We've been talking barbecue. Let's start with Hank. Hank, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm supporting Kentucky's
economy. I'm drinking Maker's Mark.
Maker's Mark. Randy.
Good choice, Hank. Good choice.
Randy, what are you drinking?
I just made me a little bit of libation that involves something from Russia.
Oh, a little Russia,
oh,
huh?
Stole it.
Tim, what are you drinking?
Is there such a thing as generic moonshine?
Yeah, there is actually, because there's a guy making it around here that I don't really know who he is, but I know they take Everclear and make apple pie out of it. So I'd say that's generic. But anyway, that's just my point of view.
I truly appreciate when you went to Memphis and you got me some of popcorn
Sutton.
Yeah, moonshine. And I truly appreciate that. And when I go to Memphis, I don't have a lot of time to run around because I've got a purpose in mind, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. But I did stop at the liquor store down from Memphis Barbecue Company, and and of course they ain't got popcorn Sutton, so they got some Tri-Box. Tri-Box is a generic series anyway, and it says new make corn liquor. I even got a number here, 6011. Arrest me now. But this is supposed to be white whiskey.
Now, let me tell you, I like white whiskey. I'm a moonshine drinker. I can tell you right now, I'm drinking a little bit of American honey right now. I like the American honey. I've been drinking it. But, since I'm out of White Lightning, but let me tell you what the crappiest moonshine there is. And I don't care if they come down on me or not. I don't really care. But that Old Smokies is the crappiest moonshine you can ever get in your life.
All right.
They broadcast it on the moonshiners, but you put this stuff in your freezer and it'll freeze. That's not whiskey to me. That's not moonshine.
That ain't good.
Now, what about you, Moody? You drink anything that?
Yeah, man. I got about a half gallon of beer brewed about 15 minutes from my house. It's a little place called Brewer's Pizza, but they brew their own stuff, and it is awful tasty.
Well, we got a baby on our hands. He's not drinking whiskey. We got a baby on our hands.
I'm
just messing with you, Moody. Hey, Cutie Pie, you still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you drinking anything tonight?
Yeah, I got me some Dr. Pepper on ice.
Okay. We won't touch that one. I like grape soda, but... We'll have to get us a whiskey keg when we get to an NBN event. We'll have to have one of those.
Chris, glad you're still here, man. You don't know, Chris was a Cutie Pie. We met in 2007 at Lulu, Mississippi at the casino for a barbecue contest. And Chris and his wife, nicest people in the world, introduced them, I guess, to the show tonight. Glad that y'all got to meet them. Very nice people.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy Hill. What's Popcorn Sutton say?
Fuck you.
Anyway,
yeah, that's pretty much what Popcorn says, you know. But I will tell you one thing. We had some shots with Tim contest started, and I made up a new toast. And the toast, you know, we were drinking a little moonshine, and I said, you know, I don't think I need to repeat on the radio. What do you think, Tim?
No, don't repeat it. Just we had a toast, of course, which you have to do. It's a necessity.
It is a necessity.
And Chris Green, you've had the 9/11 shot, right?
Do it now.
You've had the 9/11 shot or the 9/20 shot or the 10 o'clock shot on barbecue morning, Saturday morning.
I want you to see all the above.
Yeah, I think we use the Orange Crush.
Orange Crush.
So you got to do it at a certain time?
That's what I used to do, but I got over it.
Yeah, in turn-in times, they've been doing shots going into turn-in times.
Damn it, I've been doing it wrong.
That's right, you've been drinking it all at night time and then getting into it, ain't you?
Well, I just kind of continuously drank.
Well, that's called the proper titer.
That could explain how I'm finishing.
Well, you'll get it, folks. You'll be all right.
I'm all good with it.
I propose one thing. If we go do an NBN event, all of us go, we only drink moonshine.
I'm in. Matter of fact, I'm thinking I want to do chicken because I can marinate my chicken in moonshine, and if I don't think it's good enough to turn in, I can eat it.
Well, there's only one problem with that, Tim. There's only one problem with that, Tim.
What?
They don't do no chicken in NBN.
And the only breast you want to see on the mammalian side.
Yep.
Hey, Tim.
What?
Don't worry about bring the chicken. I'll help you eat the damn chicken if we don't, you know.
Let me ask you all this. When you're at a barbecue cook, this is always my failed completion or whatever, however you say it. Contemplation or whatever. You're a doctor, Randy. What's that word I'm looking for?
Masturbation.
But anyway. we don't bring any food with us. Do y'all ever bring any food with y'all? Because we always forget that. We don't ever have nothing to eat. We're always starving.
I always eat barbecue. You should not bring anything else along with you. If you can't eat your own barbecue, you shouldn't be there in the first place.
I always bring, like, Polish sausages or something like that. I never eat the chicken. My brother always eats the shit out of the ribs.
You bring up a good point because I don't ever drink it. I don't ever get a damn thing at a barbecue contest. Because I come home and I lose 20 damn pounds because I don't eat nothing. And like this comp this weekend, the people that did the comp very nice. They provided us some sausage biscuits and other things. There's two things I want to see at a barbecue comp when I cook. The first thing I want to do is now. There's two things I want to comp, and I think it's very important. First of all, I gotta find a place to shit in the morning. I gotta have a clean goddamn pot that I can shit in the morning. And if I got a good place to shit in the morning, I'm happy. Second thing is, I need a fucking cup of coffee. So if I got a cup of coffee and a place to shit, I'm happy.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Randy.
you're absolutely
in, guys.
Hey, I gotta be able to have somewhere to use the bathroom. That is deaf and low. I have to. First thing in the morning. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
that main thing.
And then they throw that time change in there. Oh, no, it's not 7 o'clock. It's 8. And, oh, my God, I'm an hour early.
Yeah, you know what I hate? You know what I hate? Is the damn, when you're at a KCBS cook, it's the damn meeting, the cook's meeting that you got to go to. You've been on the road. Hell, we usually roll in right before the cook's meeting, and you either got to take a shit or you got to pee. And they're like, you got to come to the cook's meeting. I'm like, why do I have to come to the cook's meeting? So you can give me a baggie that says, here's your koozie cup and something else, and they don't even tell you anything that really what really matters. Just call all the first-time cooks and be done with it.
At Tupelo, I got a Southern Crunk koozie cup.
There you go, man. Living the dream.
There you go.
Well, I appreciate everyone for, like, tuning in tonight. I have to go because my wife is telling me to load up to move out to New Orleans tomorrow, babe.
Woo!
There you go, Randy. I figured you enjoy that.
I gotta go because I'm loading up to move to go down to New Orleans tomorrow, Papa. I appreciate all the callers tonight.
Yep, hey, we're about to blow her out. We got about 50 seconds left. Anybody else got anything to say?
Keep her proud, Papa.
Bring
it on. Honk out. Y'all take good. Y'all take care, Papa.
What'd you say, Hank?
Bring on the titties.
Bring on the titties. Yeah, I'm about to bring me on some titties.
Barbecue, barbecue, barbecue.
That's right. That's all I do is barbecue, 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 and titties, 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 titties. And that's about
it.
All right,
boys.
So, we'll all right, y'all have a great one. Peace out.
Oh, my God, please help me knee deep in the river trying to get clean. He says, wash your hands, get out the stains, but you best believe for this hell to pay. Yeah, you best believe.